The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Yes, it is. We're coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Beautiful spring afternoon in the Pacific Northwest. Sunshiny outside. As always, sunshiny in my heart. All right, she got Nicole back after a couple days. I guess you just missed one day. We'll talk about that. Did you miss two? Okay. We'll talk about that coming up in the Big Lead at 1 o'clock because it's a big story. There's big news here. So we got a lot to get to. I want to start with a public service announcement. Thank you to our faithful listener, Matt Gilbert. The Seattle City Council yesterday passed a resolution officially recognizing the neighborhood that was previously known as Lower Queen Anne. It will, from here on out, be called Uptown. So finally, we've taken all of the other issues and gotten them fixed. So the Seattle City Council now is asking you to call Lower Queen Anne Uptown. And as Matt Gilbert points out, thanks to the City Council, make sure to say, I saw a homeless person go poop on the sidewalk in Uptown instead of Lower Queen Anne. Okay? Make sure you get all your neighborhoods right with all this. And with that as mere prelude, let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
I talked about something Friday and again a little bit yesterday. But I want to tie it all together into The Big Lead today. Because this social justice woke activism, it's simply not cute anymore. You know, there are just people who, for bizarre reasons, they have decided that things like social justice crusades are more important than the safety of their own children. And I just find that absolutely reprehensible. You know, we just had the story in Aaron's newscast about we've got a couple of Seattle schools that have homeless encampments on school property. And the Seattle City Council has sent a letter demanding that Jenny Durkin, sent a letter demanding that Jenny Durkin and the City Council do not sweep the homeless off of school property. So let me get this straight. You can't have a marijuana dispensary within 1,000 feet of a school. Kids are not allowed to smoke on school property. School property is a weapons-free zone. But if somebody with a machete wants to have a cigarette while they're injecting heroin in between their toes because there's too much scar tissue elsewhere, that's fine for the schools. And what we have done, and this shows you how far gone the Seattle School Board is. They do not care about the safety of the children. And I think any sane person knows that we have few responsibilities more important in our life than protecting kids. Our own children, other people's children. But the Seattle School Board has decided that social justice activism is more important. You know, Little League fields are filled with homeless people now.
Andrea Morrison complained to the city, not asking for a sweep of the growing encampment, but saying the safety of kids should be as high a priority as the homeless population.
As a parent, I feel the message that they're sending is that they're not prioritizing the well-being of the city's children.
In an email, the city's homeless response team told Andrea the city suspended the removals of encampments, except for extreme circumstances that pose significant risks to the public.
One, two. Okay, and there were naked people who have OD'd and been carted off, presumably dead, in front of these Little League kids. Is that not an extreme circumstance?
Three Rays!
That response from the city.
Good job, guys.
As the Ballard Little League pays $27,000 to rent the fields this year.
Frustration is mounting to the point where we have to speak out now, because if our children can't play baseball and softball in the summer in the public fields that are in their neighborhoods, then something is really, really wrong.
Yes, something is really wrong. And that is woke activism that puts heroin addicts. And look, we should provide all the help we can to the homeless, but we should not tolerate them taking over school grounds and play fields. And you may have just heard in our newscast a few minutes ago, there are kids at Meany Middle School who do not want to go back if they have to walk by a heroin or meth tent where there may be a machete or a gun inside. There were sure a lot up at Cal Anderson Park when they did a sweep there. This dad said his kid doesn't feel
safe.
They
feel their safety for them is paramount, and they just don't want to do it.
But it's not just this. This is not the only example of where the social justice is above human safety. Last week, we told you about United Airlines saying that they were going to hire pilots based on diversity, and that they pledged to have 50% of their pilots in a few years be either women or people of color. And as a passenger, I'm guessing you only care about one thing. And that is the pilot the best at taking off, flying, and landing safely? But now United Airlines says that they are not going to just take the best people on all of the testing that they have to undergo, but they are going to hire people based on skin color or gender. And, you know, this is one of the most unbelievable sound bites. This is a Department of Justice civil rights person who was talking to Tucker Carlson a couple of years ago when she said, of course, airlines should not hire just based on ability.
Do you think that airlines should apply the same diversity rules you're calling for here? That they shouldn't take the people who score the highest on the pilot tests, but that they should hire also on appearance, the way people look.
Every workplace, whether you're talking about
pilots
airlines
to heart surgeons
or
too?
Federal agencies, should hire the best, but should place a premium on diversity. And
but which is more important, Zinke's, the way that you look or what you do, what you're capable of doing? So like when you're flying a plane, how important is it what you look like, your
incredibly
appearance?
Incredibly important. And it's also
appearance
important
is incredibly
that we have,
important.
It's also important that we place a premium on diversity.
Okay. I'm not going to fly United Airlines if they're picking pilots not based on ability, but based on showing the world how socially aware they are. I'll find a different airline. Thank you very much, United. Had a lot of good flights with you over the years, but you've gone off the deep end with this. But it goes on from there. In our military, as we told you last week, they used to have a physical standard for members of our military that they had to meet to get promotions, and it was the same physical standard for men and women. Things like pull-ups, push-ups, running. And last week, the military said too many women are not meeting the standard, so we're going to have a different set of physical standards for men versus women. Well, our enemies aren't doing that. The Taliban is not doing that. Red China is not doing that. North Korea is not doing that. The United States military is going woke. And that's when people die, when you start putting your social justice activism above reality. And that brings me to why I am talking about all of this today. Because, as you may have heard, the latest tragic shooting in Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center. It involved a 25-year veteran cop who we just found out this morning is going to be charged with second-degree manslaughter for killing a 20-year-old young man named Dante Wright. Now, here's what we know about that shooting. The police made a stop because of expired tabs. But then as they're checking out that stop, they figure that Dante Wright, or they find out that Dante Wright has an outstanding warrant for an armed robbery of a young woman where he held a pistol up to this young woman. Well, now the cops know that as well. And so they, of course, are going to approach this guy with extreme caution. And they did. And you will hear in this audio what went down. Okay, now what's happening right there is there's a black cop who's a very big man, and he's starting to put the handcuffs on Dante Wright because they want to make sure he doesn't have a gun in the car since he has a prior. And by the way, have you had it with the media who say that he got pulled over for air fresheners on the mirror or for expired tabs, or that that's why they were handcuffing him? No, because he had a prior with a gun. And it's amazing to me how the media selectively leaves facts out of stories like this. But anyway, the large cops trying to handcuff him, and then Dante Wright starts tensing up, which is what suspects do before they try to run. And cops know this. They can feel it in the muscles as they tense up. And so then Kim Potter, the 25-year vet, she says, I'll tase you. And then she screams, taser, 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 which is her way of letting the other officers know that she's going to deploy her taser. Holy bleep, I shot him. She says she thought she had her gun in her hand, or she thought she had her taser in her hand, but it was her gun. How a cop makes that mistake. Based on that, I'm not saying, you know, I prejudged in the George Floyd case. I watched a lot of that this morning, and there are so many mitigating circumstances that are creating reasonable doubt. So I'm not going to convict this cop, but she is going to face second-degree manslaughter charges, and I do think that's appropriate. That's manslaughter is when you accidentally kill somebody. I don't know how a cop can make a mistake like that. Your gun is on the dominant hand side of your belt. If you're a right-handed cop, gun's on the right side of the belt. Your taser's on the opposite side. So the taser would then be on the left side. How you accidentally think you have your taser when you have your gun, there's a significant difference in weight, and it's inexcusable that this guy died. And so I do think the second-degree manslaughter charge is reasonable here. But I want to read to you an email that I got from one of my listeners. This is from... What's the wrong email? Where'd it go? This is from a listener who's 30 years law enforcement. His name's Mark. 30 years law enforcement, 15 years as a firearms use of force instructor. The female officer did negligent manslaughter if she meant to tase him. If she shot him because he had former gun charges and thought he had a gun, she might have had more justification. We used to train officers to go hands-on and keep control of people. Why the killed man was allowed to break free in the first place is the question. And it's a great question. And here's what I would say watching that video. The large cop who was trying to handcuff him, I'm guessing he didn't want to. When the guy tried to break free, he didn't want to throw an arm around his neck and try to take him to the ground because everybody's paralyzed now because of how cops have been so persecuted. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be very politically correct here. I'm just going to be honest. A 25-year veteran, 50-year-old female cop doesn't have much of a chance with a 20-year-old healthy young man. And so she wasn't able to jump in and help pull him away. And given all of that, I've said this before. In Kenosha, Wisconsin, the cops who shot the young man there, who they tased and wrestled with, and he broke away and he had a knife and they shot him. Those cops, who were all men, they looked physically scared to engage with the guy. And I'm just going to be honest. I think that our police departments, and there aren't enough former Green Berets and Navy SEALs and Army Rangers and all of that. I guess Army Rangers are Green Berets, aren't they? There aren't enough of those to populate every police department in the country, but we sure should be looking for those guys. And yeah, I said guys who can physically control a situation. If that means taking a guy hand-to-hand to the ground, then that's what you do. But we're so concerned with equity numbers in police and putting people out on the streets who are going to be physically overmatched for a variety of reasons. I would be a horrible cop today. But even at my youngest and healthiest, I would have been a lousy cop because I couldn't have physically controlled a lot of suspects. I'm not a big guy. Now, there are some guys my size who are hellfire, and they can handle themselves, and they can handle almost any situation. But, you know, between the let's let the homeless on school grounds, let's hire pilots based on things other than their ability. Let's weaken standards in our military when our enemies are not. Let's put people out on the streets as cops who cannot physically command a situation. That's when stuff like this happens. It all goes back to we're putting social justice above reality. And we're putting social justice above the life and the welfare of our children, of our adults, of our nation. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, man. I got an email that broke my heart yesterday. Young woman, wedding's all set to go in Pierce County, and then Jay Inslee rolls back the phase, and it has knocked this young woman for a loop. And her email made me cry. I don't know what I'm going to do talking to her, but she's going to join me live coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. I got an email yesterday from a young woman, and I started reading it to my wife, and I started cracking up, I mean, emotionally breaking up as I was reading it to my wife, because I've said this many times. When our oldest daughter got married, I truly thought that for that one night, I knew what heaven was going to be like. All of our family and friends laughing, dancing, having a great time. It was just pure joy. And that's what I expect heaven's going to be. And it took my daughter's wedding to experience it. And so when I got this email from Kayla, man, it fired me up. As Kayla joins us live here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Kayla, it's great to talk with you.
Hi, Dory.
Okay, let's tell my listeners what's going on here. So you are supposed to get married this Saturday, is that right?
Yeah, on April 17th.
Okay, got it. So here, let me just read the first couple lines, and this is where I got so emotional. Hello, my wedding is in 5 days in Pierce County, one of the lucky three counties being pushed back to phase two, effective April 16th. The day before my wedding was supposed to happen with 136 of our closest friends and family. I am so devastated. I spent the entire day just trying to process how Washington is still living in fear when other states are walking around mask-free. And then you just got me with this. You wrote, the wedding was supposed to be the happiest day of our lives. Our 94-year-old grandfather is flying in on one of his last trips ever. My 82-year-old grandmother hasn't flown in decades, and she is coming in town to see her granddaughter get married. So, Kayla, tell me what's going on here. What's where are things at with you guys in the state of Washington?
Yeah, and then just like when you read that back, it just really it brings me back just how difficult it was to hear the news on Monday. Because it's just been a roller coaster of all of these back and forth with the phases. And we're just trying to do our best just to have as close to a normal wedding as possible. And that's just become so impossible. These unpredictable changes and we don't know, we can't make, you know, heads or tails of any of these restrictions. And it's just exhausting to keep up with. So we're just tired.
Well, and look, under the best of circumstances, if things all go relatively smooth, a wedding is one of the most stressful events in life. Positive things can still be very stressful. So now you combine that normal wedding stress with what the state is doing to you. So under phase two, how many guests could you have had at the wedding? Or and you're back in phase two now. Under phase two, how many guests can you have?
Well, in phase two, we can have only 103, but we were excited at least under phase three, we wouldn't have to cut our guest list again. And so we were excited to invite anybody that had to be uninvited from the last phase two. So we were just heartbroken to hear that we were now moving back to phase two and had to tell our guests, you know, 30-something of our guests that, sorry, you can't come the week of the wedding, even though, you know, we already have people in town and we already have, people, our friends and family are here to start celebrating. And I don't know what, you know, it puts us in a position where we were just, gosh, you know, processing. What do we do? What do we tell people? How do we go forward? So it's been kind of a whirlwind having to replan and figure out what we can do to not have to uninvite anybody if possible.
So under phase three, you could have had 136, and then you didn't have to cut your guest list at all. And now you're in the position where the state wants you to tell 33 people that they're uninvited. We'll get back to that.
I think we gotta
work on that part of this. But you called Jay Inslee's office, and tell me about that.
Yeah, and you know, and in the past, I've been obviously planning a wedding, just trying to just glued to the news, just checking to see, you know, what are we allowed to do and not allowed to do, because these phases have just been evolving over the past year, and we have to plan around all of these phases. And so every few weeks, when we get an update on what is going on with Washington, I'll get a notification. There's this press conference that Inslee's having where he's addressing us and telling us what's going on. And I remember, with phase three, it's sobbing, so excited. We were able to reinvite anybody that had to be uninvited. And I was expecting a press conference on Monday, knowing we were at risk of potentially going back. And I got a text from a friend saying, hey, you know, Pierce County's gone back to phase two. Is that true? And I hadn't seen a press conference. I look at, you know, for the news, and I finally see that there was a quiet announcement that Pierce County and the two other counties had rolled back. And I immediately just was so devastated and just immediately got on the phone calling the governor's office, waited on hold, just sobbing, totally not even sure what to do and how to go forward, just thinking this is impossible. And I finally got in touch with a staffer, and I just told her my story and what was going on. And I was just asking, you know, the governor, if he could please just reconsider his position and just not roll us back to phase two and just consider how devastating this is, not just to businesses, but, you know, all of our vendors and our guests and our family and the ability to be able to just celebrate our wedding day. And I just said, you know, I just don't think that the governor has considered people like us. And, you know, I just asked if he wouldn't be able to reconsider his position, could we at least just move forward since our wedding was planned before these rollbacks under phase three guidelines? And she says, well, you know, we haven't had this question come up, so I don't know what to tell you. And I know that's not true because we've been in this position last summer with these weddings, sure, and they were allowed to move forward. And she just said, sorry, don't know what to tell you, you know, sorry for your situation. I'll relay your message to the governor. And it,
well,
just felt,
look,
helpless.
It was incredibly cowardly how Jay Inslee announced this, and he did it with just a press release, not with a news conference, because if there had been a news conference, somebody could have asked him about somebody, yeah, like you and the situation you're in. And I, you know, it's real easy to say that, you know, you should just go ahead with everything as planned, but you got a bunch of vendors you're working with, right? A caterer, right, a venue, and they're, yeah, afraid. And what's the punishment for them if they participate in an event that's over the governor's limit?
Yeah, well, if there's any violation, from what I understand, and as our vendors remind us every single day, because they're so afraid of any backlash, if anything happens, if any restriction or mandate, anything is violated, any of the vendors that were involved, from what I understand, photographer, caterer, coordinator, venue, you know, DJ, band, anybody would get fined $1,000, and not just get fined, but lose their business license. And they're just struggling to, you know, stay alive,
oh,
and they,
man,
can't handle that. So they're just living,
well,
in fear,
yeah,
and
mean,
it's really causing, yeah.
The $1,000, you know, we could easily handle that. I personally, I'm sure my listeners, if we did a GoFundMe, we could pay the fines for them. But the business license, I can't do anything about. But look, I got to take a quick time. Can you stay with me for just a few more minutes here, Kayla?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me take a real quick time out. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Kayla's on with us live here. You can text me at 98973. I got some ideas here that I want to bounce off her. So we'll get to all of this coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.
We're no strangers to love. You know the rules, and so do I. I've no commitments while I'm thinking of.
Listener Kayla, who emailed me yesterday, getting devastating news from the state that they want to roll back the wedding. You know, what makes this so crazy, Kayla, is there is not one bit of data or facts that say 103 people in Pierce County is now safe and 136 is not. As you said in your email, the COVID doesn't stop at the King-Pierce County border somehow. All of this is just completely made up, which must add tremendously to your frustration.
Yeah, it's been the hardest part is just following these guidelines, knowing, you know, if we were just 20 minutes north in Seattle, you can sit with 10 people at a table or, you know, more than two households per table. And for us to now find out, you know, each of the tables are limited to six people instead of 10, or, you know, now only two households instead of unlimited households per table, just by crossing county lines. And some of these numbers and distances that they've put on us are just so inconsistent and confusing. We can't make sense of it. And even our vendors are confused, just scrambling to figure out how we can, you know, adhere to these guidelines that don't make a whole lot of sense at all. And it's just exhausting if they keep changing.
Well,
we can't keep up.
Some of these other guidelines, tell my listeners about the dancing restrictions. You're going to have to put tape on the floor and make 6-foot boxes that your guests are going to have,
yeah,
to stay in when they're dancing.
So we, this is one of the silliest ones, is that, we are not allowed to dance with other tables. You are only allowed to dance with your own table. So six people in your dance group, and we are.
That makes no sense at all.
We have to put a little box on the ground for people to dance in their own little square, and they can dance with another square 6 feet away from them, but they have to be separate. So it doesn't matter if they're traveling together in the same hotel room or, spending holidays together as a family. If they're not at the same table, they're not allowed to dance together. And it doesn't make any sense.
Insane. Wait, and what about when you're walking around? Can you walk around from table to table as the bride and greet your guests?
Apparently, I hope I can. I want to be able to see people that are spending a lot of money coming to see us and our friends and family. But from what I understand, we're not really allowed to walk around and talk with other tables or anything and interact.
Are you still there?
I would hope I'm able to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, look. Okay, I just cut out for a second. Here's my suggestion. And all this is my thoughts. You can take it for what it's worth. I think you should forget about every single one of these restrictions. I think your guests should dance like they've never danced before. I think you should go and see and hug everybody. You're vaccinated too, right?
Yeah, and most of our wedding is vaccinated. We've even done spreadsheets, and it's so
well. And
sad.
Then tell my listeners why you guys didn't have much flexibility, and it's because of what your fiance does for a living, right?
Yeah. So it's been not only a hard year with COVID, but my fiance was active duty military and was deployed last year for about 10 months and came back and. We were looking forward to seeing, and for him, a lot of friends and family he hasn't seen in a really long time. And we're being stationed out of the country, leaving in June. And so this is a chance, the way that we're viewing this is an opportunity to see our friends and family also and, spend time with people that we won't be able to see for probably a few years being out of the country. And we can't postpone, we can't reschedule another day. This is the only time we can do it. And to get these restrictions just 24 hours before our wedding day, I'm speechless and really sad. We don't have an option to do it a different day.
Right. Well, so getting back to what I was saying, if your husband's active military, This is so unfair, what Jay Inslee is doing. There's no medical or health science behind any of the restrictions. I would tell you to if you were my daughter, and I have a 31-year-old daughter who's the same age as you, I would tell you to dance like you've never danced before, to make it the greatest night of your life, to try to forget about all of these restrictions. My listeners and I will pay any fines for your vendors. I'm convinced that I can't do anything about the business license. But if Jay Inslee, if he tries to crack down on your wedding when he changes things 5 days before your wedding day and you don't have flexibility, I'm getting so furious right now just thinking about all this. I will rain hellfire down on the governor, and I will take this national, and I'll make sure that everybody knows how ridiculous and capricious all of this is. And you got to get back to that mentality when you were so happy at phase three and just say, you know what, we're going to forget about all of this stuff, and we're going to just make it the greatest night of our lives. You deserve that as a bride.
Yeah. And a lot of people have, been affected, and it's just a lot of our brides I've reached out to and the Washington State Wedding and Event Advocates. I've reached out to them to see if they have any, hope or anything. And they said they're trying and it's not looking good. And I've reached out to state reps just if he can reconsider or just help us in some way. And it's just dead ends everywhere.
He's got a grandfather in your wedding. This is insane. Okay, I know that Nicole's called the governor's office. I've called law enforcement to see if we can call the dogs off, if they were tipped off on any of this. And we'll see what we can do, Kayla, okay?
Thanks, Dory. Have a good day.
Thanks for sharing your story with us. There's Kayla. I'm serious. I'm so emotional right now. I'm usually just frustrated and angry, but I'm so sad for him. I'm tearing up right now as I'm thinking about this. None of this is based on science or health or anything. It is just throw stuff in the wind. And this is the consequences of what you're doing, Governor Inslee. Fast 15's coming up next on the Dory Monson Show.